Her life changed twice since you've talked to her last year. So always when someone says no to the opportunity or just not right now, just always say, do I have your permission to revisit with you on a later date? Maybe, you know, if we have a special or something comes up where you just kind of go back and say, hey, has anything changed? And just kind of keep that dialogue open, just understanding that. Okay, let's go back to how we were raised. Nothing affects everything we do in our business more than this statement right here. It's one of the first things you want to know in an interview. It's one of the first things that you want to know. Are you freezing? She is freezing. This poor child right here is freezing. Can we get the air down or move her? We can move you to a different place.
Get her a blanket.
Get her a blanket because nobody else is cold. Do we have blankets anywhere? There we go. There's your coat. A director's suit. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Cheryl Steinman was the first director who ever brought this to my attention. She said, Linda, nothing affects your consultants more than how they were raised. And I never thought the thought. So there's basically, I don't know, do we have another screen for this? Oh, we don't. Never mind. Okay, there's two ways that you're raised, traditionally or entrepreneurial. So traditionally is means that your family, your parents, one or more of your parents work for another person. So your day started at a certain time, you had a certain amount of time for lunch, you came home at a certain time, there was a certain number of vacation. In other words, your upbringing was all about a clock. Okay, that's a traditional upbringing. Then there's an entrepreneurial upbringing where one or more of your parents own their own company and no one ever looked at a clock. It was, let's get the job done. So raised on a dairy farm, and we put out, had a big tobacco base. Not one time in 18 years did my daddy ever look at his watch and say, oh my God, we have been in this tobacco patch for 8 hours. We need to go in. We stayed in the tobacco patch until we were done, until we were finished. Okay, so those are completely two opposite upbringings. So out of curiosity in this room, how many of you, both of your parents were traditional? They work for other people. So let's look around the room. See, it's a big majority in this room. How many of you, one or both parents were entrepreneurs? One or both. Okay, so we have a mixture. All right, so how does this play into this business? Well, we have to understand, let's go to the next screen. We have to understand Maslow to understand how this affects our business, because traditionally minded people who work for other people are all about safety and security. All right? On safety and security needs, just real briefly, because I don't want this to be a discussion about Maslow, because we've covered this a lot, and some of you have never covered it, so just trust me, you will talk about Maslow a lot. But Maslow says every day you wake up, you start at the bottom. So this morning, we started at the bottom, every single one of us. And if we are really in a tiny, outside the bell curve average, somebody in this room might have a day where you have a self-actualizing moment, okay? So he said the stats on this is that 97% of the world will never have one day that they ever get to the top, which is staggering considering when I joined Mary Kay in 1982, I walked around the world saying, this is the only place on earth you could have a self-actualizing moment every day. Nobody knew what I was talking about, so I quit talking about it. So anyway, this morning, the first thing you did was hopefully you had a good night's sleep, you were rested, and then you got up and you had some breakfast. And hopefully those needs were met. Now, if those needs were not met right now, some of you have checked out of this class. You're not paying as good attention. You're not engaged. You're distracted. You're worrying about what we're going to have for lunch. Your stomach is growling, and your blood sugar is dropped, and so you're out of the ballgame. There is nothing going to happen in your life that's momentous because this basic need is not being met. Now, the next one is safety and security. Now, if you have been looking at your text this morning and someone said your babysitter didn't show up, and I want to say something to the little girl who came from South Carolina. What's your name again? I promise you I'm going to learn it. Ashley, I understand that yesterday there was 3 shifts of babysitters in South Carolina. And your children are how old?
4, 2, and 1.
For your mom, for you to travel 6 hours to come to a meeting where you knew no one, and you had 3 shifts of babysitters that made that happen. But, you know, I'm sure Ashley's not the only one in this room, though. There's many mamas in this room that had to make some hard stuff happen yesterday. See, that's outside the bell curve, and that's why you're outside the bell curve. But you're not working with those people all the time. You're working with the middle. That's why you get so frustrated. You want to know what the first thing that every woman says when she becomes a national sales director that nobody ever talks about on stage? You want to hear like that dirty little secret? I never have to work with another 225 for the rest of my life. And you want to know why? Because 225 people have absolutely no vision. They have absolutely no vision. And it makes people who are outside the bell curve insane. We want to kill them. What do you mean you can't sell 225? It's five phone calls. 225 is a five-minute job. And it makes us crazy. It takes her all month long to sell 225. So anyway, so going back to safety and security. So if you've looked at your text and your babysitter has not shown up this morning, what need is being threatened in your life? Safety and security. And so you've now checked out of this meeting. It's over. You might as well go on home because we're not going to get anywhere. All right? So safety and security needs are that. Love and acceptance, we own it. In Mary Kay, we absolutely own this level. When you walked in here, no matter who you were, I believe you felt welcome. I believe you felt honored. I believe you felt valued. When people come to our meetings and they come in the wrong clothes, we love them anyway. When they act ugly, we love them anyway. People get a bigger round of applause for coming to a Mary Kay meeting than they did when they graduated college. We own this level. We also own the next level. Those are your esteem needs. That's your bar pins, your ribbons, your prizes, your tiara that you slept in last night with your diamond bumblebee on your chest. She came in the bathroom and she goes, "The princess or the queen has arrived." She said, "I slept like this." Those are our esteem needs. Out there with the car, having your picture taken with the car, we own this. So what is self-actualization? It's a moment when you are completely fulfilled. You have complete joy and complete fulfillment, and you know that you know that you know this is I've arrived, meaning I'm using my gifts, I'm using my talents in a way I was designed to. That's why Maslow says less than 3% of the people in the world will ever have one day, but we have them all the time. Now, if you study this chart, we teach life skills, don't we? So we're teaching people how to manage their time, and manage their time is affecting their rest, their sleep, their food, preparation, and all that. And so when I teach directors and I teach nationals, I teach from this standpoint of safety and security. Everything I teach is through that filter, because if we can give people safety and security, we own it. We've given them a clear pathway from point A to point B. Now, I had a director the other day, she came up to me privately, and she said, "Linda, I totally have everything on this chart in order. I mean, there is nothing in my life that really is dysfunctional at this point. Why am I not accomplishing?" I said, "You don't work." See, people who have perfect lives don't work. See, that's why you don't see me recruiting women who make $200,000 a year. They love the idea of not having to go to that corporate job. They love the idea, but you know what? They're not willing to go out here and carry some cases at 9, 10 o'clock at night in 4-inch stilettos in the snow. They're not willing to do it. I need the little girl who's got 3 jobs. I can find you a director. She's in your customer base. She's got 2 and 3 jobs. She's hungry, and she has no excuses. So, okay, so let's take this concept of safety and security, and let's apply it here because it's affecting your recruiting tremendously. So when you've got this girl, and this could be you, who was raised by a traditional family, Mary Kay looks very unsafe. So when your mother-in-law grunts every time that you go to a Mary Kay meeting and makes that sound with her voice that annoys you, that sounds like, okay, what she's saying, I can promise you on a stack of Bibles, is this is so unfamiliar to me, this looks not safe, this looks not secure, and so what is being threatened is her safety and security needs. So Mary Kay was so brilliant, you guys, because Mary Kay worked into our marketing plan, and Melita's already talked about it this morning, the things that build safety and security for the people who need it, and some of them is you. Guys, the root of y'all's marital problems with Mary Kay is right here on this chart. It's right here under safety and security. I can promise you. It's right here. The person that's causing, if this business causes you stress, because you think you can't predict your income. And Melita is exactly right. I can predict. I can tell you exactly this month how much you'll make. All I have to know is what your average is. And then I take one look at your date book. I can get it within a penny. So, see, when we know our averages, we build up safety and security. So when your mother-in-law comes in, here's the tool Mary Kay gave you. It's called a weekly plan sheet. And your mother-in-law walks in, and that's what's on your refrigerator is your plan sheet. And it says, you know, Mary Kay here, Mary Kay here, and it's all color-coded. Your mother-in-law sees that as safe and secure. Oh, you really don't work all the time. Oh, you work between 7 and 9. You worked 2 hours yesterday. Now, that makes sense to her. And that makes sense to your husband. Now, for some of you, you need to remove your filter of D and I dominance and influence right now, because you are saying, oh, my God, do I have to, like, spoon feed my whole family and have to do all this stuff? I think just figure it out. No, they can't. No, they can't. That's on you. You must provide safety and security to the people you live with, to the people in your life. And, guys, when this comes to recruiting, when you hear me do interview, I'm going to walk you through inventory. One of the first questions, if I don't know it by the time I get to inventory, I find out how she was raised. Because if she was raised in a traditional family and not an entrepreneurial family, when I say 3,600, she hears me say 36,000. And so I have to stress the two safety and security nets that Mary Kay provides us financially, which is 90% buyback, 100% guarantee when we sell to a customer. All my wording becomes safety, security words. That's why you use the two safety nets that Mary Kay provides us in all your languaging, at facials, at parties, at business debuts. Business debuts, directors, it's critical that you talk about the two safety security nets, because her mother-in-law is there, her grandma is there, everybody who is scared to death that this woman has $36,000 worth of product on her shelf. This is what builds safety and security with them, if they understand that she is completely protected. So when you start getting pushback from your family, your spouse, or when you begin to feel stress yourself about the business, what you're looking for is this need, flip back, the safety and security need to be met. And you meet it with knowing numbers, having structure, and being disciplined. Melita said it constantly this morning. You have to be disciplined. And discipline is not pretty. It's not fun. It's like, oh, you know, I'd just rather today be doing something else. Okay? You're not going to make $36,000 a month if you constantly think that. You won't do that. And so that's where discipline comes in. And again, how do you develop this discipline and how do you develop that mindset? You surround yourself with people who are disciplined. If you're surrounding yourself with people who have no discipline, you're not going to be disciplined. You have to surround yourself with the person who's exceptional. You have to read about them. You have to study them. Those are the books you read. Those are the tapes you listen to. What do we love the most about the Super Bowl and the Final Four is all those stories about kids that came from nowhere who did something amazing that inspire us. That's who you surround yourself with. Because the normal people will say, oh, just be happy with what you got. And that's a Southeastern Kentucky thing. And that's a cultural thing. And it may be a cultural thing for where you're from in West Virginia or where you're from in Michigan. But there's cultural things inside your all's community that's putting stoppers on your excellence. Because you're going to go so far outside the bell curve. Now remember, see, if you can start looking at lives and saying, there's nothing wrong with that person, she's just normal. She's in the bell curve. I'm not normal. Don't want to be normal, but understand, you're going to be leading normal people. You're going to be leading normal people. So you can't be aggravated with them. You can't be mad at people. You cannot lead people you're angry with. You cannot lead people you're mad about. And you can't lead people you need. You can tweet that. You cannot lead people you need. When Melita said your five people aren't doing something, go get five more. If you're needing her, your language is different with her. You don't just let her go and quit Mary Kay when you have 16 recruits. You try your best to hang on to her, and you pray about it, and you think something is wrong with your leadership, and you're in anguish, and you get ulcers, and you worry, and there's just this drama. When in truth was, if you had had 5 more people or 10 more people, you wouldn't have noticed she went away that bad. See, here's your team. You've got girls on your team that keep you on the phone for an hour because someone took their customer.